But anyway, I want to thank you for allowing me to preach this morning. I haven't preached since March of 2023. That was my last sermon at First Missionary. But I'm glad to hear to help at Groveland. I'm a new elder, and I'm glad to be able to help Pastor Tim. I forgot to ask you, Tim, did you get moved in yet or to your new house? Okay. Yeah. You know, it's not too many times where you get to just move right across the street, is it? You know, that's pretty easy. But anyway, I'm glad you got moved. Some of you don't know me very well, so what I want to do this morning is do a quick biography. It's called the 45-second biography. And I actually timed this. So this is from the day I was born until I'm standing right here in 45 seconds. If anybody wants to time me, that's fine. But here we go. Let's see what we're doing here. It says, I was born in Kentucky in 1961, saved at a Southern Baptist church in Kentucky at the age of 10. Preached my first sermon at 16, when I was 16. Thought I was called to be a minister at 18, but did not follow. Instead, I became a carpenter slash cabinet maker, mostly cabinet maker. I married Kendra, my wife, at 23 in 1984. We had kids in 87 and 92, and my kids are here, Kay and Mackenzie, and some grandkids. God called me into ministry in 1996. We packed our bags and moved to KMBC, where I was a cabinet maker, student, and preacher. I moved to North Peak in 2003, and now I'm standing before you. How did I do?
47 seconds.
How many?
47.
I was off 2 seconds. Now, you're not going to hold that against me, are you? Okay, very good. Okay, today I thought this would be a good time to start at the beginning of the Bible because we get a new year coming up, so we're going to be looking at, if you want to turn your Bibles to Genesis 1:1. I'm going to preach one verse here, Genesis 1:1, and I call this, and this is my own opinion. You might have other opinions, but in my opinion, this is the greatest verse in the Bible. This is the most important verse in the Bible. And I'll share with you, try to prove my point here as I go along. There's 2 points to this sermon. It is my view that this is the greatest, most important verse in the Bible. And you might say, how can I say that? Because there's a lot of other verses there. When I was a teenager, I watched NFL games. Some of you might remember. If you look at the end zone when they're kicking a field goal in the 70s, there was always somebody with a sign. And what verse did they have up there? John 3:16. So I always looked at that maybe as the most important verse in the Bible. Will you say it with me? For God's, in King James, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is an important verse, but I'm going to pick on Genesis 1:1 today. Genesis 1:1 is a simple verse and one easy to memorize. It's one of the first verses we introduced to the kids in Bible quiz there in North Pekin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me ask you this. Why would God start with that verse? He could have started with anything he wanted, but he started with in the beginning. Well, it's pretty simple. He had to start somewhere, huh? So why not at the beginning? Did you know that man did not start at creation? How does that sound to you? It sounds like heresy, doesn't it? That's a false doctrine, and it is. It is. It's a false doctrine. It's something that the world puts forth. Many scientists, many people who are philosophers, and people even in some Bible college and seminaries believe this, because they believe that the evolutionary theory, that there's been millions of years. And some even believe in what we call theistic evolution, where actually God was there. He just sort of controlling all that stuff, you know, with the apes and everything. But this is a false doctrine. Man did start at Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Now, how would God allow this to go forth? Well, he allowed it because of Genesis chapter 3, when Satan brought sin into the world and man started becoming a lot smarter than God, or they thought they were. He didn't He didn't start this. This was started with sin in Genesis chapter 3. And it started, with the world thinking, well, if God didn't start this, who did? Well, they couldn't really prove anything, so they went back millions and billions of years. They said it was a Big Bang theory. It was an accident, okay? And in Genesis chapter 3, it just grew from there until what we've got today. It started with Adam and Eve, and they started loving sin more than God. That's what happens. That's how you get that type of thinking. I'm from Kentucky, thinking. That's how you get that type of thing. I wanted to start with a joke that actually goes with the sermon. Now, I tried this joke out in Sunday school a few weeks ago, and the only person that laughed was Anita, and I thank you, Anita. So I'm going to try it again, see how it goes. This goes with the sermon. There's these two scientists that cloned the first human being. They did a really good job. They was patting themselves on the back. They thought they were great. So they went outside on the ground. And they looked up into the heavens, and they were just so happy with themselves. They looked up to God, and they said, "Hey, God, we don't need you anymore." Well, God spoke back to them, and he said, "Hey, guys, you prideful scientists," he said, "let's have a creation contest. And let's just use what you have before you there as you stand on the ground." And he said, "I'll tell you what, you create a man and I'll create a man. I'll let you go first." So the scientist bent over on the ground to pick up. God said, "Uh-uh, you use your own dirt." Did I do good, Anita? Yeah, okay, I heard two laughs. But anyway, that goes well with the sermon. Okay, let's start with those three words, in the beginning, okay? In the beginning. What can we learn from the first three words recorded in the Bible? Well, the Hebrew, these three words are one word in Hebrew, and I'm going to need your help here. It's bara, and I'm not going to say the last part. I'm going to spell it for you, and you'll know why I did not pronounce this. Bera. B-E-R-E-S-H-I-T. Okay, that sounds like a dirty word, doesn't it? The first Hebrew word in the Bible, but it's not. But I don't want to be accused of saying a dirty word in church, so I'm going to let you figure that out, okay? Thank you. According to the rules of Hebrew grammar, the biblical verse should have begun with the word Elohim, which is God. Properly, it should have been God in the beginning, which doesn't make sense in English, but it's okay in the Hebrew grammar. God created in the beginning. But for some reason, in the beginning was put in first, and then the name God. So you ask yourself, why did they do that? Well, this is the inspiration of God. Even though God didn't care about proper Hebrew grammar, so he said, "You know what? I'm going to use this to introduce myself." And the reason he did that, it was written first before God because it was important to God to let us know that God's creation has order in it, okay? And it starts in the beginning. So there's order in the beginning of the universe and everything God created. And then he has sort of an introduction to him. So if you follow the word Genesis, the first book of the Bible, if you follow the word from the Greek to the Latin, it, as you know, it means beginning, and which means to be born. So God born the universe in the beginning. So in the Genesis, you could call the first book of the Bible the book of beginnings. The beginning of what? Well, the beginning of just about everything that was good. There was also some bad stuff, but God didn't create that. God created everything good, but he allowed bad things to come forth. But it came forth in a good creation. Now, some people say, you know what? If God created everything, he created evil too. But you know what? He did not. If you look in James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, when tempted, okay, so we can't blame God for any bad thing that's going on in your life. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away in their own evil desire and enticed. Okay? Now, I hated grammar just like most of you did in school, but in the beginning is actually, I'm going to use a little grammar, is a prepositional phrase. And it's a particular prepositional phrase. It's what we call an introductory prepositional phrase, okay? And you might ask me, why are you up here giving us all this stuff? Who cares what grammar says in the Bible? Well, God does. And the reason he uses this particular phrase, so we could better understand his word. This prepositional phrase is used to show time. This is an introductory, and it's a time in the world, in the very beginning of our time frame, not God's. He's always been here. But he's introducing us to himself. This is introductory. Say, hello, this is God. Hello, now. And I'm starting everything from scratch right here in the beginning. So that is why it's important. It's history, it's important. But what happens when you take those first three words out, and God, and you remove that from the Bible, which many people have over the years, starting in Genesis chapter 3. What happens when that's removed? Well, everything else in the Bible is questionable, isn't it? Its future, its history is in doubt. What happens when doubt comes into our thinking, especially with God's holy word? Well, what happens is sin comes in. Sin. The first sin in the Bible with Satan was introduced because of doubt, right? And that's what the world wants us to do now, is to doubt God's word. Is it true or not? What easier way to doubt God's word than to take out the first verse? Take out the doctrine of creation. And what happens? We start doubting other things in the Bible. God still uses doubt and deceit today, the same way he did in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. If we begin to doubt God was at the beginning of our time, then you get evolutionary thinking, millions of years without God involved. Sometimes you get theistic evolution, and they teach that in some schools. This is a true story. I have a professor at Kentucky Mountain Bible College I went to, did not teach this, but he believed in theistic evolution. I talked to him. He wasn't allowed to teach it, thank goodness. But he did believe that, and I was surprised to hear that. There are a lot of people that think that way. That is a false doctrine that has gotten into many churches and Christian minds as a way of compromising with the world. You can't compromise or give into this point of view because that's what we call secular humanism, human reasoning without influence of God's word. It is this type of thinking is fighting tooth and nail against the first doctrine of the Bible that we're talking about today, the doctrine of creation. Over the past 2.5-3 generations, we've seen the battle increase and intensify. The more that is taught in our country, the more the culture begins to change. Now that our youth have cell phones and computers, okay, and probably some of you are looking at them right now, who influences our youth today more? The church, the Word of God, or their phones and the computers? You got to think about that. We're sort of losing that battle, aren't they? Because Satan is very smart in the way he influences the generations that come behind us. The church needs to push back and teach clearly the creation of the Bible, or the creation of the universe. We only have our kids for a while, and we need to build this foundation. So this is what I'm talking about this morning. First point is, creation in the beginning is the foundation to all other doctrines in the Bible, and we need to start with that, especially when you teach kids, young kids. In the beginning, God. God is our creator. It all starts with him. So we want to do that in the beginning. And when we lose our children because of they haven't been taught the foundation of the Bible, we lose our church. There's one reason this verse is important. Now, this is one of the reasons. When our culture and churches start doubting the first verse, the doubt begins to have an effect on the gospel message of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It becomes harder to lead people to Christ when you compromise Genesis 1:1. And when you compromise the New Testament. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ. So if you start doubting the creation of God, you start doubting Jesus is our Savior. Or maybe He's just a good teacher, like a lot of people think. He's just a good man. Yeah. If we start doubting this, then we start doubting Him as our Savior. And if there was no beginning, then how was there a cross? A death on the cross. How was there a resurrection? You see how Satan works. You teach children some sort of evolutionary thinking, allow that to get into their minds, and it has, then they are less likely to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church becomes no big deal. Christmas becomes a big deal. But then after the new year, what do? Go back to the regular routine. We don't think a lot about Jesus. And that leads to my second point. Point number one, the doctrine of creation is the foundation of all other doctrines in the Bible. Genesis 1:1 is the foundation. Point number two, and this is only a two-point sermon, okay? Point number two, this is important for evangelism. You need to know God is Creator when you share your faith. Spreading the gospel. If you were to ask average church-going Christian, what do we do to help the church grow? Most will respond in this way. They'll say, go out and proclaim the gospel to the lost. But you got to ask yourself, what do they mean by the gospel? Do they actually know the whole gospel and what it really means? So they fail to fully understand the gospel totally, and I believe that's due to a foundational problem. And I'm not talking about most of you. I'm talking about church in general and a lot of the kids that we have coming behind us. And what has happened is, because of point number one, they don't fully understand point number two, the gospel. Okay? This is what is happening when people read the Bible, and most of them begin in the New Testament. Say in the book of John, and I used to believe that. I did the same thing growing up. You lead somebody to Christ, just go to John. Just read John. And we don't ever mention any of the Old Testament. We don't mention about God as Creator. And I didn't until just a few years ago start believing in this way. And when we go to the New Testament, Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, many do not understand the plot. How did we get here? What's the reason of His death? You go back to the Old Testament. To Genesis 1:1. We have generations going all the way back, as we go back in our country's life to the 60s, that do not understand the plot of the Bible. Most people in the church world will tell you the gospel is Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead. And while this is true, this is only half the gospel. The good news comes with the bad news in Genesis. We have to include that. We have to give them a reason that they need to be saved. The good news comes with the bad news in Genesis. Most people don't even know why they are lost or why they need to be saved from sin. You see, unless people realize their need for a Savior, if you go up to them and tell them, Jesus loves you, do you want to be saved? What does that mean to them? They have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have a problem. Am I a sinner? Why am I a sinner? Why do I need to be saved? How can I be saved? So, some of the latest research over the last 20 years reveal a large percentage of our population believe that they are sinners, but they don't realize that they need to be saved from their sin. Most people say, yeah, and a lot of them brag on being a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner just like you. Yeah, join the club. Well, we want them to join our club, which is faith in Jesus Christ, and we can be saved because of our sin. We can be saved because He died on the cross for our sins. Why is this? Why do we have this problem? Because starting in the mid-20th century, evolutionary theory, millions and billions of years have been taught in our schools as facts. And Genesis 1:1 has been removed from schools, basically the Bible and the Ten Commandments, and they remove those as being false. It's replaced with what they think is the truth. And our kids have that problem. The sin is the problem. They replace God the Creator as the problem, and they put in evolutionary thinking as the answer. Now we have in every area of our culture, phones, internet, computers, TV, and even in some churches, whole denominations have said that God is the problem. Okay? God is the problem, but sin is the answer to our problems. Here's the answer to your problems. Are you a happy person? Are you happy today? Is my sermon making you feel good this morning? I could care less. But is my sermon making you feel good? That's not the answer. Happiness and pleasure and all those things that go with it the world has to offer, that's the answer. Just go home and have a good time. Sin is not the problem. You are. Right is wrong. That's what they're saying. And wrong is right. And if you don't agree with the way I think, you're a hateful person and you're a hypocrite. That's what we have today. Our country has removed the foundation doctrine of creation and replaced it with man's doctrine. The Big Bang Theory, you know, millions and millions of years, just randomness out there, is really no fact of it. As we talk about the foundation, I want to give you something that each of us understand very clearly. When we want to build a house, what do we start with? Foundation. I've seen several as I drive my bus around for week care. During the week, I've seen some new foundations being built. I guess that's good for our economy. And they start with the block. Some of them have basements, some of them don't. But they always start with the foundation. That's important. So you start with the foundation, then you build the walls, and then you have the roof. See, what the world is telling us is we don't really need a foundation. Okay? We don't need that. We could start with the roof. But see, explaining the gospel to them works this way. Start with God the Creator. Sin entered the world. That's why we need a Savior. That's the foundation. Then we have God sent His Son to die on the cross. He was raised on the third day. That's the walls. And then you share with them Jesus' mercy and grace, His free gift of salvation. What is that? That's the roof. Okay? This is the power of the gospel and why Jesus Christ can offer us the free gift of salvation. Today, 90 to 95% of kids from church homes attend public schools. Okay? As you know, we see what's taught in public schools. I'm not saying the math and science and all that stuff, but there's a little bit of evolutionary thinking going on too. And they leave out the truth. So when they come home, we have to teach them something totally different than what they're thinking. We have a whole family here that homeschools. Some of you go to Christian schools and whatever. And that's an exception. But most of our kids that we deal with in society does not agree with Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, because they're taught every day, 6 hours a day, something different. So as a church, we have to push back on that. And when we have our kids for 15 to 20 minutes a week in Sunday school or in church, does that seem fair? Doesn't seem fair, does it? So what do we have to do? As we share the gift of God, we need to share that God, Genesis 1:1, is our Creator. And we get eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to start with the foundation. And because culture doesn't teach that, doesn't mean we don't have to. And we should teach that in our homes too, as we talk to our kids. Jesus at home, teaching and talking about it around the dinner table. But I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this. If you cannot believe Genesis 1 and 2, did you know you cannot believe in Jesus? That seems a little far-fetched, doesn't it? But I'm going to prove it, because I'm going to read John 1, 1 and 2. And it speaks for itself. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Where did God start? In the beginning. He started with us. He's always been. He always has been, but He started with us in the beginning. And you know what? The Word was God, and He was with God. When was He with God? When was Jesus with God? In the beginning. So those people who removed Genesis chapter 1, what do? They're removing Jesus Christ. Because the Word was God, and The Word was with God, where? Let's say it together, in the beginning. Thank you. Let's pray. Do you want me to pray, Tim, so you don't have to come up here? Okay, I can do that. I've done it for many years. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together as we talk about your Word and the doctrine of creation, the first doctrine, the most important doctrine in the Bible, because that's our foundation. You're our Creator. You created us for a reason, and that's to love you with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and we could love others like that. So, Lord, just be with us this morning as we go out. Give us a good day. Help us remember who we are and what you mean to us in the beginning. Amen.